Welcome, Voltron fans. This is Mark Morrell, your host for Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast. And we can't wait to talk about WonderCon, but I've got to get my co-host here to do it. So I want to welcome Greg Tyler.
Hello, Mark Morrell. Hello, fellow Voltron fans. This is a wonderful time for Mark and me because we're going to share with you what we experienced at WonderCon last weekend.
And most of it was hearing loss.
There was a fair amount of that, yes.
It was like...
Holy moly, Mark. You know, you could double for some of the some of our classic 80s Voltron voice actors, the male ones who had to do female voices. You did a great job with those squeals.
The giggling princesses.
Yes.
That Neil Ross and Michael Bell had to do.
Uh-huh. You've got it going on.
Of course, I couldn't scream too loud because I didn't want to hurt the ears of our listeners. So I'm just trying to give people an idea that there was a lot of cheering going on, both on the exhibit floor when they were doing the autograph sessions and during the panel when, man, almost everything was cheered about.
Yeah, there was great excitement to be had by all. It was an awesome, awesome weekend.
Yes, and wow, we have something that is sort of like an exclusive, don't we?
Yeah.
Yes, we can actually talk about something that happened to us while we were in California just before WonderCon.
Yeah, fun stuff. I'll let you introduce that topic. It was a real experience. Loved it.
Okay, for me, it was a little bit like heaven on earth.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I'm going to introduce it in a way that people will kind of get the sense that I really enjoyed this. But we had been talking with the people at DreamWorks about the possibility of taking up Andrea Romano on her offer of visiting them during a recording session.
Mm-hmm.
So after several talks through it and trying to work out dates and all that kind of stuff, they finally worked it out so that we could do it just before WonderCon. So we got to go to an actual recording studio in Burbank, California, where they were recording a session for Voltron Legendary Defender, and it was directed by Andrea Romano, and it was also including your executive producers, Joaquim Dos Santos and Lauren Montgomery,
mm-hmm.
and it also included the actors, Jeremy Shada and Kimberly Brooks. Of course, Jeremy Shada, who plays Lance, and Kimberly Brooks, who plays Allura.
Yes. Was it amazing, or what is amazing?
It was incredible. I mean, when we were brought in, it was Andrea Romano that came out and let us in and, you know, greeted us. And, you know, it's her show, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When they're at the recording studio, it's her show. She was amazing. She is the legendary voice director that we always knew she was. And it was just amazing to see her in action. She brought us into the studio and they told us we could put our stuff in the corner. And we were able to sit and watch about 40 minutes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It was about a 40-minute session. In setting this up for us and everything, they wanted to make sure that, number one, it wasn't going to be something that could leak out, you know. So it's not something that they normally do. In fact, we were told that we were the first press ever to be able to get into a recording session and watch it. So that was an amazing thing. And then the fact that it wasn't an actual episode that they were recording, but it was promo material that they were using for in between the two drops that you get on Netflix.
Yeah.
So we wanted people to understand we weren't actually listening in on an actual episode with actual episode lines. These were lines for promo material.
Yeah, and I will say that even if we had been able to sit in on, you know, a recording of an actual episode, we obviously would not be able to reveal that. But we didn't sit in on any actual episode recording. We sat in on the promos, you said, Mark, and so we have no spoilers, not even those that we would have to keep our lips sealed about.
Right. So, and of course, we didn't understand the context around some of these lines for how they're going to be used in you know, future promos and stuff like that. So when we hear it, we're going to be like, oh yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
But we won't know when it's coming.
Right. So yeah, it was just a blast. So yeah, we were actually in the room with Andrea and Joaquim and Lauren, and you actually sat next to Lauren, didn't you?
Yeah. Wow. That was cool. She had the script sheet, on the table there, and there were certain lines that were highlighted. Those were the ones that they were actually going to do during the session. And then she was writing notes on the side or in the script itself. So most of the notes on the side were just the take numbers that they were doing. So every time the actor, Jeremy or Kimberly, would say their lines, it would be another take. So Andrea would call out the take numbers, and then they would do their line, and then the sound engineer would record it, and they would mark it, for that take.
Right.
Then Lauren and Joaquin would also be writing in their notes in their script sheet. So there were times when they may have had to add a word or take away a word or change a word or something like that to better suit the feel of the line, because.
Right. Sometimes something looks good on paper but doesn't read so well when a human being is actually reading it aloud and trying to perform it. And so, yeah, it was really cool to see that not only would Joaquin and Lauren make suggestions, but Andrea would as well.
Yes, and sometimes it was okay, you got to go a little bit faster this time. We want to get through that a little quicker. And then other times it would be maybe not so many pauses at the end, or I need you to raise your inflection up towards the end.
Yeah, and it was wonderful to see how well Andrea interacted with both Kimberly and Jeremy. I mean, you could tell that they'd worked together for a long time. They had a great camaraderie, and they were all so into what they were doing, and they just worked very well together. It went very smoothly and very quickly.
And what surprised me is they do so many takes and they do so many lines and stuff like that, and they're doing them as their character. But if they get interrupted by somebody and they have to say something, they're not saying it as their character voice. They're saying it in their normal voice.
Yeah.
So they go very quickly from their character voice to their normal voice to their character voice to their normal voice. All the time. And especially with Kimberly, who's got this really sharp accent with Allura, it's just amazing the difference between her regular voice and the Allura voice.
Right.
It's just incredible to watch that in action because they rolled through so many lines in that 40-minute period. If I was trying to do that, I'd probably be taking at least 2 hours, 2.5 hours to get through the same stuff. This is just years and years and years of experience as a voice director, years of experience as voice actors, and just knowing the people, knowing, these people know their characters. Andrea knows the characters. The executive producers know the characters. So there were a couple times where they sort of just said, okay, we'll give you the three takes, and then I want you to let loose on this last one and do it however you would want to do it.
Right.
And on one of those, Joaquin just said, "Wow, you should do that like that all the time." Just
It
it was cool.
was neat. I loved how fresh both Jeremy and Kimberly were with every single take. I mean, they had to crank through several takes on many of these lines, and every single time they delivered it as if it was their very first take. And I know that that's part and parcel of what voice actors need to do, but to actually witness it and see them do that and approach each take as if it were their first and bring all that energy to it, it was so impressive to see.
Yes, that was amazing in itself. And after the session was over, I got a chance to deliver some fan mail that was sent to us by some of the listeners. What we had done was, and I know everybody's going to be like, "Why didn't you tell us? Why didn't you tell us?" Well, here's what happened here. In order to keep this whole thing a secret about the fan mail from any of the cast members and any of the crew from the show, we couldn't go out on Twitter or on Facebook or anything like that and say, "Hey, can you guys send us your fan mail so we can deliver it to Joaquin and Lauren?" We didn't want to do that because we wanted this to be a surprise for them. Also, what we did do is I sent out direct messages to a lot of the fans. I sent out our email. We have an email list, if you go to letsvoltronpodcast@gmail.com, you get signed up for our email list, And if you're on our email list, then you got the notice that we'd like you to send some fan mail, if you'd like to send any fan mail to the cast and crew of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Send it to us at Let's Voltron, and then we'll hand deliver it, because we knew this was going to be happening ahead of time. So we gave it about 3 weeks in March for people to be able to send it in, and surprisingly, some came from pretty far away.
Right.
We had some that were from England. We had some that were from Singapore, but a lot of them were from the United States.
Yeah.
So we hand-delivered all those, and Joaquim and Lauren were just flabbergasted. They really appreciated it. And then we got to see them later when we talked to them at the interviews at WonderCon, and they said that fan mail was just incredible. You know, people had actually sent them like pieces of art and, you know, things and personal notes and stuff like that. We never opened any of it, just so you know.
Right.
Because we knew there was going to be something personal in there that they wanted to give to each of these people on the DreamWorks crew. So we didn't ever open it. They were the first ones to ever open it. And we did find out a little bit later that there were a couple of notes just to us, but, you know, they gave them to us. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if we're ever going to get a chance like that again, ever, because that is a pretty incredible thing to do, to be able to sit in on a recording session. But if we ever get a chance to maybe visit DreamWorks again, and we know ahead of time that we're going to be able to do that, then we will possibly be sending out, you know, through our email list and through direct message and stuff like that. So be prepared.
Yeah. So sign up for the email list. That's the long and short of it, right?
Yeah, that's the long and short of it. And especially if you're an international fan who doesn't have access to any of the Playmates toys, and you want to sign up for our contest, which is our Voltron Retro Commercial Sweepstakes.
Oh, yeah, that's still open, isn't it?
Yes. And believe it or not, this is the longest running thing ever, because we still need more entries. Okay, we have some, we need more to be able to make this 30-second commercial. So if you're in the United States and you have access to Playmates toys, or if you're even in another country and you have access to Playmates toys, make sure that you take a 15-second video and just send it to us at letsvoltronpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll be happy to take that and enter you into the contest. And then if you're an international fan who doesn't have access to any Playmates toys right now, just send us your first name, last name, and an email. That's all you need. We'll sign you up on our newsletter, and then we'll also enter you into the contest.
Yeah, and the Playmates toys are awesome, so you can win some cool stuff for doing very little. So get your entries in.
Yeah, the international fans can win an Ultimate Voltron, which is the 14-inch Voltron, which doesn't come from the lines combining together. And the people who send in videos and are actually in the 30-second commercial will draw three winners. The first winner will get the Legendary Lions set, all five of them, that do combine into the 16-inch Voltron. The second place prize will be the Ultimate Voltron. And the third place prize will be both the Lion Attack Voltron and the Sword Attack Voltron. That's the basic figure.
And they're all cool.
Yes.
They are all cool. So, yes, get your entries in, join the mailing list, and all that good stuff. So, yeah, that recording session was probably a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for us, and it was absolutely amazing. I mean, I know we've just touched on that, but you just got that vibe during the whole thing that this was a very unique and special and wonderful thing.
And we did tease it with a few pictures out on Twitter.
Yes.
While we were there. So you'll get to see there were three pictures that we took. One was of Andrea Romano with us. And then one was with Kimberly Brooks and Jeremy Shada and us.
Mm-hmm.
And the other was
Joaquim and Lauren with all the fan mail.
Yeah, that's what it was. Okay, so we do have a few more pictures of, so they were some staged pictures because that's all we could do after the session was over. You can't take pictures or record anything during the actual session. So, yeah, there were a couple of staged pictures. We got one of a sarcastic Lance, one of an aggressive Allura. So we'll share those pictures with you on the podcast page.
Right.
We also took a lot of pictures while we were at WonderCon as well. So, you know, there's all kinds of pictures that were out on our Twitter account that we shared while we were there. but there's many, many, many more that we haven't shared yet.
Right.
So in addition to what we're going to share on the podcast page, we are making some videos on YouTube of our actual interviews. And mixed in with those interviews will be some video and pictures of what happened at WonderCon.
Yep. So that was the Thursday before WonderCon, right? Where we yes. attended the recording session.
That's right.
And and then afterward, we explored Burbank just a bit, checked out a couple of fun, geeky stores. There were a couple year-round vendors of Halloween merchandise. There was a really cool vintage toy store called Blast from the Past. And then we wandered into this store called Creature Features, and I got to see this book that I've been wanting to buy for my one of my other geeky passions, which is Star Trek. There was a Making of Star Trek, the motion picture book that I'd been wanting for a few years. And I remember being very excited when I saw it on the shelf in the store and saying, oh, I've been wanting this for ages. I can't believe it's here. And the guy behind the counter said, that's because we publish it. So... So the book is called Return to Tomorrow, and I read a huge chunk of that on the way back from California to the great state of Ohio, and man, that book was everything I hoped for. Anyway, wow. Burbank itself was great.
Yeah, so Blast from the Past also had a couple of the legendary lions. They had the Black Lion and the Yellow Lion.
Yes, they did.
There were a couple of vintage Voltron things there as well, but mostly, I'd say... there was a lot of DC and Marvel stuff. There was a lot of Star Wars stuff. There was Disney stuff. There was Star Trek stuff. There was things from the 70s, things from the 80s, things from classic horror movies, things from everything. I mean, it's just amazing. It really, truly was a blast from the past.
Yeah, and they had a lot of vintage magazines, genre magazines that I've have been a fan of for many years. Starlog, Cinefantastique, Cinemagic. I'm sure they had, you know, Fangoria and some of those other wonderful magazines. I don't remember all the titles. I think Fantastic Films, some of the really old good stuff from the 70s and 80s that I used to buy used a lot from local sellers that are no longer in business. But it was great to see those in plenty at Blast from the Past. And the store itself has a really neat vintage style sci-fi sign that it really stands out on the street. It's a really cool store.
And if anybody's wondering, it's not the same, you know, storefront as Blast from the Past from the movie Tomorrowland.
Right.
Now, this was a completely different storefront, but pretty much very similar things that you saw inside the store in the movie you saw inside this store as well.
Right. So, yeah, that was an amazing day.
Right. So Thursday was really cool.
And we hadn't even gotten to WonderCon yet.
Right. We hadn't.
Right.
So WonderCon. Wow. Lots of things going on at WonderCon.
Yes.
On Friday, we were mostly checking out the floor. I had some things that I had to do for Toon Barn in the afternoon and evening for Teen Titans, the Judas contract. Mm-hmm. But we were on the floor for a good part of the early part of that day. And we got to see some interesting stuff. There's some Voltron artists out there that are doing some great stuff.
Yeah, it was my jaw dropped here and there. It was just incredible. The artist alley was full of people creating amazing Voltron fan art and sharing it with other fans. It was really overwhelming.
We bought a print from Hero Complex Gallery.
Right, right.
Right. It was a black and white Voltron print that had some Japanese writing on it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then also we had stopped by a few of the artists in Artist Alley, and I picked up some stickers of each of the five paladins that are listed not by their names, but by their element that their lion is attached to.
Mm-hmm.
So I had one for land for Hunk, one for sky for Shiro, one for forest for Pidge, one for water for Lance, one for fire for Keith, and one for stars for Alora.
Yeah, I couldn't even begin to list some of my favorite art pieces that I have that I saw at WonderCon. They were just some amazing pieces there.
And we did share some of those on our Twitter page. So if you check out our Twitter page at Let's Voltron on Twitter, you'll see some of the things that we shared while we were there, you know, and some of the art that we saw that were from actual artists in Artist Alley.
Right. And also, I tweeted several things under my Twitter account at Let's Voltron Greg. Mark does the official podcast Twitter, and I've got my own. So as I was walking the floor, I was tweeting things too. So check out at Let's Voltron and at Let's Voltron Greg.
Cool. So, like I said, Friday and Friday evening, I was doing interviews and the world premiere of Teen Titans: The Judas Contract, which is a great movie, by the way.
Oh, cool. Now, I'm not a tune barner, although I have great respect for those of you who do, Mark and your wife, Kim.
Yes.
While you were doing the tune barn thing, I was walking the floor some more, and I got to meet one of our listeners and fellow Voltron fan, Shambhavi Kadam. And we walked the floor and checked out a lot of the great stuff they had going on. One of the things that both of us liked a lot that was outside the purview of Voltron was there was a display by a group. Gosh, I can't remember the name, but they're trying to get some land to set up a sci-fi and horror museum, and they were taking donations and all that. Well, they had a replica of part of the bridge of the Enterprise from the original Star Trek, and so they were taking the free photos of you on the bridge. And so I saw it earlier in the day when I was walking solo, and I was sitting at the helm of the Enterprise and pretending like the ship was being hit by a Klingon disruptor where the ship, bebops all over the place. And Shambhavi got her photo taken in the captain's chair, which was really cool. And later in the day, and also on Saturday, Star Trek's Uhura, the original Uhura, Nichelle Nichols was there signing autographs. So that was really cool.
Didn't you post something on your Twitter about the
Oh yeah, I said I so the picture of me where I'm rocking on the bridge, or like I'm hanging onto the helm for dear life. I posted something like, "Does the Enterprise have a rift exit positioning monitor so that we can see where this wormhole is taking us?"
Yes, that's what it
So
was.
So it was gosh, that was just a fun thing to do, to sit on the bridge of the Enterprise and hang out there. So that was going on. We ran across, I think this was on Friday, was it Tommy Yoon from Harmony Gold USA?
Yes, be even before that, we had met up with Seamus Kelly.
That's right. So Seamus Kelly of Den of Geek was there.
Right.
He and I have communicated several times through Twitter, through direct messaging and all that. But it was great to meet him face to face. And
Well, he's also a big Robotech fan as well.
oh gosh, yes.
He's a Power Rangers, Voltron, Robotech, all those things. And the funny thing is that we ran into Tommy Yoon. And of course, Tommy Yoon, he was our very first interview on the podcast. If you remember going way back, December of 2013, the very first episode was just me and Jeremy. Me and Jeremy Corey. And then our second podcast was actually an interview, and it was an interview with Tommy Yoon, because at the time they were doing the Robotech Voltron crossover comic. And then later on, after we had the chance to review those comics, we brought Tommy Yoon back, and we also had Elmer DeMasso, one of the artists, and we also had Bill Spangler. So that was a one, two, three. There were three episodes there where we had two with Tommy and Elmer and one with Bill Spangler.
That's right.
So Robotech Voltron crossover comics, if you haven't checked those out yet, you should check out the trade paperback, because at the end of that trade paperback is 5 pages of those interviews with Tommy Yoon and Elmer. They mentioned the Let's Voltron podcast, which is really cool. So 5 pages from our podcast were transcribed just for that, because Tommy had contacted me and said, "Do you have any transcriptions of those interviews that we did?" And I said, "I can get those for you. It'll take me a few days, but I can get them." And he said, "Give me what you can give me. I don't know how many pages they're going to let us have." But he said at the end, they only ended up giving us five. But it was just enough as like a bonus material thing for the trade paperback to make it really worthwhile. Because how many trade paperbacks actually have that, where you have interviews with the writer and the artists and all that kind of stuff?
So anyway, it was great to run across Tommy Yoon, and he mentioned to us, and then he mentioned at the actual Robotech panel, which was later, some exciting things going on in the world of Robotech. And I gotta tell you, if you are a one of the newer fans to Voltron, and you came to Voltron through Voltron Legendary Defender. And if you like the general look and feel of 80s anime, maybe through watching Voltron 84, but you're looking for something that appeals a bit more to a shipper sort of vibe, I heartily recommend that you check out Robotech, because Robotech has some of that stuff. It's got some of your shipping. It's very, it's out there. I mean, there are characters who very much have interest in each other. That's a fun animation for a variety of reasons. So Robotech, like Voltron 84, like Voltron Legendary Defender, can be watched on Netflix. So check it all out.
Well, they have the Shadow Chronicles, and they have Live, Love, Alive.
I don't know if Love, Live, Alive is on Netflix, but I know at least the original series is, and I'm not sure about Shadow Chronicles, but certainly the 80s anime is on Netflix, so I do recommend you check it out. Yeah.
Is that the Macross version?
Okay, so the original anime, let me back up very quickly. The original Voltron was adapted from two different anime programs. Just like that, but totally different, Robotech was adapted from three different anime programs. And so Macross is one of those three programs.
Well, in addition to seeing Tommy on Friday, Seamus and I went back, and there was a Robotech fan group in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually saw Tommy again at that booth.
That's cool. I do remember walking past and seeing him there, but I didn't get a chance to chat with him at that time.
Right. So that was cool then.
Yeah. So Friday was a lot of fun. It was kind of a casual day. I mean, of course you had your Toon Barn stuff going on, but from a Voltron perspective, it was basically walking around and just enjoying people in their cosplay and enjoying the artist alley with all the fan art going on and seeing some of the Voltron merchandise at different dealer tables on the floor. And then, of course, there was an event that we got to take part in after Friday's WonderCon events, right?
Oh, yes.
Yes, we had dinner with somebody, didn't we?
Okay, so here's the funny thing is, earlier that morning, we had no plans for dinner whatsoever.
Right.
By that evening, we had plans for dinner.
Yes, we did.
Now, I knew I wasn't coming out of the Judas contract until after 8, and you weren't coming out of your Robotech panel until after 8.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew we were having a later dinner. So probably between 8:45 and 9 was when we were going to have dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I saw was that earlier in the day, I got a text from Franklin Kofod, the original director of Voltron Defender of the Universe,
mm-hmm.
the 84 show.
Right.
All right. He's been on the podcast before. We had him for a two-part interview earlier in the episodes. And then we also had him with Jack Angel in some of the later episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go back and you listen to the interviews that we did with Franklin Kofod, you'll learn everything there is to learn about the original show.
Right.
Because he was there working with Peter Keefe and Mark Handler and, you know, all the voice actors, you know, like Jack Angel and Michael Bell and Neil Ross and B.J. Ward and Peter Cullen.
And Lenny Weinrib.
And Lenny Weinrib, yeah. So, I mean, he had all those stories during that two-part interview.
Right.
When I had originally interviewed him the first time, that was just for the book.
Mm-hmm.
But when we brought him on the podcast, boy, those stories really came out.
Yes, yes.
And then just having him and Jack together was just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually had texted me and had said, oh, by the way, are you guys at WonderCon? And I said, yes. And then he said, I might be back later because my grandson is having a track meet up there. Would we be able to get together? And I said, well, we're not available from this time in the afternoon until after 8 o'clock at night. And then he said, well, I have to find out what's going on and I'll get back to you at 2.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, we were standing in line for the Ashley Eckstein, Her Universe line, which was they were having a special Ahsoka Tano Funko Pop figure that they were having exclusive to WonderCon. And we had picked that up at the Her Universe booth. And we had to wait in line to get it signed by Ashley. Of course, because you know Ashley Eckstein had played the character Ahsoka Tano on Star Wars The Clone Wars and in Star Wars Rebels, in case anybody was wondering.
Yes.
Okay. And she's also the CEO of Her Universe.
Yep.
Which is fangirl fashions. You know, everything from Marvel to Doctor Who to Star Trek to, you know, Transformers and everything. So, yeah, if you haven't checked out Her Universe yet, check out Her Universe and Ashley Eckstein, because it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're waiting in line for the Ashley Eckstein signing, and I get a phone call from Franklin, and he says that he's going to be available after the track meet, which is like perfect for us, because then he'd be able to meet us right at that right time in that window between 8:45 and 9 o'clock.
Right.
So he said, all you have to do is send me which place to go to, what restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit later, I texted him the address for the Outback Steakhouse that was only like 2 blocks down from our hotel.
Right.
So then we went there after, you know, we had gotten all of our stuff back to the hotel and had dropped it all there. And then we went down to the Outback Steakhouse. We put our names in and they said it was going to be like a 45-minute wait. It only ended up being like a half an hour, but while we were waiting there, Franklin showed up. So Franklin Kofod, the original director of Voltron, Defender of the Universe, had dinner with us. So yeah. That was really cool.
It was really cool. I had never met him before. I know you have, and that's how he knew how to text you and call you and all that. And that was just a treat. So back when you and I were talking about going to WonderCon, I was asking you repeatedly, do you think we can meet Franklin Kofod? Do you think we can meet Franklin Kofod? And we did. And it was so, so amazing.
Yeah. I mean, he's still got all those great stories to tell about how, you know, like Monday mornings, he would get there around 7 a.m. and they'd have like a whole bunch of things to do. And as the week wore on, he kept on showing up to work later and later and later in the day. It got to like 9 a.m. and then 10 a.m. and then 11 a.m. But those guys worked their butts off, man, to give a show that was based on two Japanese shows and to be able to put all those voices in, all the sound and Foley and music and everything, and put it all together into something that actually made sense.
And all using 1980s technology.
Yeah, like, what was it, 3/4-inch tape or something like that?
Yeah.
And they would transfer it to cassettes.
Yeah, so if any of you out there have ever done any audio editing or video editing using computers, you got it made and don't know it.
Yeah, the digital world is so much easier.
Oh, gosh, yes. And so imagine, you know, some of the newer fans who are just now experiencing Voltron through Voltron 84 or maybe through YouTube or iTunes or something like that. You know, you might say, oh, gee, the show is cheesy and da-da-da-da-da. And by today's standards, maybe it is. But keep in mind, this entire 125-episode show was released over the span of about a year and a half. It all had to be made using existing footage. They didn't always know what the Japanese dialogue said, so sometimes they had to write it, you know, based exclusively on visuals and using 80s technology. And what they did, I think the end result was fabulous, especially given what they had to work with. They were all incredibly, and still are, incredibly talented people.
Yeah, and if you think about it in today's day and age, you know, we're getting 26 episodes a year with two 13-episode drops from Netflix for Voltron Legendary Defender.
Mm-hmm.
That's 26 episodes a year. If you factor that into the same time period, that's a lot less episodes that they're doing than the original crew had to do for Voltron Defender of the Universe. And they've got it on digital, you know, and CGI, and they're doing the animation overseas and all that kind of stuff. So it's just truly amazing. I mean, those guys didn't have to send their animation overseas. They already had the animation.
Mm-hmm.
They just had to edit all this other stuff on top of it.
Oh, that's all?
Yeah, that's all. And they had to make the mouth flaps work. And he had to work with a stopwatch whenever he was directing, you know, to make sure it was the same time for the mouth flaps and everything. So, I mean, just an amazing amount of stuff that they had to do on that original show. And if it hadn't been for that original show, then we wouldn't have this Voltron Legendary Defender that we have right now that is completely awesome.
Yeah, that's right.
And I know you're listening, Franklin, because I know you listen to us on your hikes in the mornings.
Yes.
So we want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for not only, making Voltron Defender of the Universe and, something that is going to last for generations, but thank you for having dinner with us too at WonderCon.
Yes, it was a lot of fun. I personally want to thank you, Franklin, for entertaining some of my geekier questions, both before that dinner and during the dinner. I was in awe, and it was great. So thank you again.
And then he also signed your book too, didn't he?
Yes, he did. I bought a plain sketchbook at WonderCon because I was struggling to figure out, I didn't know who was going to be signing anything, and so I just bought a plain sketchbook. But he was the first to sign in that book, and it was awesome. So thanks again.
Right. We also want to mention the fact that Saturday was all about Voltron.
Yes, it was.
Okay, so it all started with people having to line up early in the morning for a chance to be able to get a wristband that would allow you to get in line for the autograph signing later that day.
Right.
So the autograph signing, of course, was going to include Kimberly Brooks, Josh Keaton, Jeremy Shada, Tyler Labine, Bex Taylor Klaus, Tim Hedrick, Joaquin Dos Santos, and Lauren Montgomery.
Yeah, a lot of people signing in one place.
That whole crew came in, and there's in WonderCon, the way that they do those signings is there's this big long desk, and it's like in the middle of the show floor, and it has a WonderCon backdrop on it. So if anybody's taking pictures, of course you're going to see WonderCon all over it.
Right.
What they allow people to do is the people that were able to get the wristbands in the morning get in line, and they have a specific time that the signing was to take place, and that was 1:30. Once the crew gets there for the signing, then everybody goes through, and you're allowed to have one of your own items signed, and then you also get the Blade of Marmora Keith lithograph that we saw that everybody at the panel gets, and they got that signed by all the people. So you could have two things signed, that lithograph and one personal item. So when we were waiting to see if we get a chance to get the autographs in the first place, the three of us were standing in line with other Voltron fans, and we got to chat it up. We basically we were talking with a bunch of different people, like Smokin' Okum, Sinisai, Jess, Akiramon 7, Grumpy Dragon Cosplay, Das Hazel, who's also known as Nicole.
Suffice it to say, the enthusiasm, the amazing cosplay was just unreal. I mean, I think that you and I, Mark, and certainly other fans that I've talked to from the original Voltron generation, like Mark Oliver, our mutual friend, we continue to be amazed and astounded by the enthusiasm of this new generation who have come to Voltron through Voltron Legendary Defender. And we saw so much of that in that line. My gosh, it was just amazing to interact with so many people.
I think we had shared some pictures and coded those tweets with their Twitter names. So
Yeah, so please check out our Twitter accounts, @LetsVoltron and @LetsVoltronGreg. We both tried to tweet as many people as we could with photos with them and whatnot. And
Twitter is the place of record for if you were in front of us.
yes, and we really enjoyed meeting everybody. So feel free to reach out to us and remind us and say, "Hey, remember me?" I'm sure we will if you ping us. So again, thanks to everyone.
Right. We got through the line, and it didn't take long once it got moving.
Right.
But I didn't get a ticket. Did you get a ticket?
I did not get a ticket.
If you reached into a bag and you got a ticket that had like a star on it or something, then they gave you a wristband. My wife actually got one.
Yep, she did. She lucked out. Neither of us did.
So my wife Kim, who's our photographer and videographer for everything, for both Toon Barn and for Let's Voltron, she was able to get the wristband. So when we went over to the signing, I actually was doing all the camera work while the signing was going on, and she was standing in line. And she was standing
Yes.
in line with Shambhavi.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was hovering outside the line with some fellow fans, who couldn't get in. And we'd been hearing some rumors that maybe if they had time, they would accept some additional people. And they did wind up taking a whole lot of additional people, including myself and many of the people that I had been hanging out with. So I did wind up getting autographs, which was really cool.
And I remember Kay and Ezra were also hanging out, waiting to see if they could get in line, and they eventually did too.
That's right.
And Seamus was there with you too, right?
Yes, he was.
All right. And then I remember another person in line that was there with us, Nicole.
Yes, we ran into her so many times that weekend,
Right.
and it was awesome.
She was dressed in a Keith Blade of Marmora suit. So that was a great suit because it also lit up in parts of the suit, which was really cool.
And her face lit up too. She was so, I mean, I don't mean literally, but she was so excited to be there with fellow fans, with the fine folks who work on Voltron Legendary Defender, and we had a blast talking with her. So thank you for saying hi to us.
And I just remember the sword that she had was like a cardboard sword, but it had a rubber band tied red lion from the basic lions from Playmates Toys. So she had that red lion attached to the sword the whole time.
It was pretty cool. I liked it a lot.
And then we also ran into Risa, who was one of our Voltron fan spotlights.
Yes, that's right.
And Risa had also done the Voltron positivity poster.
Yeah.
So that's how we remembered her. And she was in line, and I have a couple of pictures that I think I took while she was in line. So all these things we're going to post on our podcast page.
Yeah, I did forget to mention something on Friday. In Artist Alley was Stephen E. Gordon, who had worked on Voltron Force, and he's very well known for working on X-Men Evolution. So we also got to see him. So I was remiss in not mentioning him before.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, we met so many people. It was great.
And on Twitter, we had also posted he was in the middle of doing a commission that somebody had ordered from him for Allura from Voltron Force. And behind Allura was Blue Lion.
Yeah, it was a really cool
So
picture.
he was in the middle of doing it, which was really cool to see that in action. But, we never got to see the finished product.
Right.
But he does that kind of stuff all the time, and if you want to check him out, he's S_E_Gordon on Twitter.
That's right.
In the autograph line, I was taking pictures even before the cast got there. Going down the line, I tried to get people riled up and crazy and stuff like that, but that was nothing compared to when the cast and crew actually came.
Right.
There were so many loud cheers, unbelievably loud cheers. People were just going crazy over this cast. I mean, it's hard to explain, but I did take some video and some pictures while the autograph signing was taking place. In fact, I probably took too many. But I wanted to get some good angles on people getting their things signed, and there were so many things that people brought to get signed, and there were things that people brought just to give to some of the cast members.
Right.
Bex Taylor Klaus must have gotten at least three Rovers.
And they were all cool, weren't they? I mean,
Yeah.
some of them lit up. My goodness, they were great.
Yeah. So I think some people gave their rover to her, just gave it to her. And then I think some people had their rover signed by her.
Yeah. And there was one lady, oh gosh, I cannot remember names. I'm so sorry. Who was with me in the autograph line who had made a Green Lion helmet, and it had been sculpted and molds poured and all this stuff, and it was awesome. So I actually did get a picture of myself wearing that thing, and I remember thinking as soon as I put it on, "Form Green Center from Voltron Force," because I felt like I was walking around like with a Green Lion as the torso of Voltron or something. It was really cool.
Right.
But in any case, that was another amazing example of fan ingenuity and creativity, and it was just amazing.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, just the excitement of everybody in that line. And here's the thing, Jeremy Shada, he's also in a band. And his band had played the night before. So that Friday night, his band had played. He was up until like 3 in the morning. So he was tired. You could, if you asked him, he would say it. All right, I'm a little bit tired. But his energy was still there. You know, he was there for the fans. He was there because they had come from long distances to see him. So he was there signing everything. He was very cordial with everybody and everything, even though he was tired. And we really appreciate that out of him.
Absolutely. I also want to mention real quick, there was a fan who I do remember now. I don't remember her real name, but on Twitter, she goes by @frisked_up. She had an amazing Allura cosplay. And I remember, we haven't touched on this yet, but earlier in the day, a whole bunch of fans gathered outside in cosplay for a great photo op. And I remember her being shy initially earlier in the day, not thinking her costume, you know, quite measured up with some of the other Alluras. But it was an amazing costume. The hair looked great. I mean, and she did get out there and got in the autograph line and all that. And she tweeted later that it was her first convention. And it was wonderful to be a part of that with her. So thanks for joining your fellow fans at WonderCon.
Right. And while we were at the autograph line, there was another group of cosplayers right behind the line in the open area that had a Voltron, a full Voltron, and then a bunch of the Paladins in their uniforms. And there was even a Hagar, a Karan, and an Allura.
And there was a young child, I believe a young boy, dressed up as Zarkon.
Oh, was there?
Yes, there was. Maybe 4 years old, cute as a button for the Emperor of the Known Universe.
Oh, well, that's cool.
But yeah, it was cool. And I saw someone tweet that there had been someone in an 80s-style Voltron costume, as in the robot, but we didn't see that costume anywhere at the con. Did you see that person?
No, I did not.
Okay. I saw it on Twitter or Facebook or somewhere, but we didn't see that person.
Here's the thing. One thing I did catch was the teenage Karan.
Uh-huh.
And that was done by Rena Mira.
Okay.
That's Rena_Mira on Twitter. And that was pretty cool. The teenage Karan from when he was going through the rift, and they kept on going through it and going through it and going through it, and he kept on getting younger and younger and younger.
Yeah, that was really cool.
From episode 1 of season 2.
Yeah, I was actually surprised by the number of people dressed as Karan. The Paladins are kind of a given. You know, you're going to get a lot of people, especially as Shiro or Keith or Lance. Well, actually, all of them get a lot of attention from cosplayers. But there were a lot of Alluras, and there were a fair number of Karans, too.
Yeah, well, speaking of the cosplayers, we forgot to mention that earlier in that day, before the autograph session at 11:30, everybody met outside near the fountain.
Right.
And all these cosplayers from, you know, all the Pidges, all the Hunks, all the Keiths and the Shiros, just Alluras and Karans and the Voltron and just Lances. Don't forget the Lances.
Oh, I can't forget the Lances.
Yeah, it's just, and, you know, some obscure ones too, you know?
Yes. So there was some that I remember one person cosplayed as the lance that Pidge had created when she was stuck in the trash nebula.
Right.
So, you know, she was kind of losing her marbles and was lonely. And so she made all these dolls, I guess you could say, of her fellow Paladins and Allura and Karan from the junk in the trash nebula.
Yeah.
And so someone was cosplaying as the lance that Pidge had made from junk.
Right.
It was awesome.
And just recently, I had retweeted a tweet about a video that was on Twitter that showed a Pidge in a uniform messing with the imitations of Lance and the other characters.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so check out our Twitter feed again.
Yeah, I don't even see all of your tweets, Mark. I need to go back and check those out again. Just a fun time. So much creativity.
Yeah, but the cool thing is that Danny DeWald was with us.
Yes, Danny. I hadn't met her before. That was an amazing first time experience.
Right.
She's so enthusiastic, and she's been on the podcast several times, and golly, it was fun. So hi, Danny. Glad I got to meet you.
And of course, Danny was with us a lot during the weekend. And
she was.
I wanted to mention the fact that while this 11:30 cosplay thing was going on, she was organizing it, sort of, you know, she's getting everybody in place for pictures and stuff like that. And when it was time for all the Keiths to go, she would say, "All right, all the Keiths now." And then towards the end, they would do a countdown and they'd just say like 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then that would be the cue that, you know, the next group needs to come in. And so we did, you know, each of the individual groups of characters. So we did all the Pidges, all the Keiths, all the Shiros, all that kind of stuff. Then we did like an entire group of all the Paladins or, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then just everybody all at once.
Yeah, it was just astounding. I mean, again, as someone who, as you know, both of us were fans in the 80s, you know, there was no internet back then. There, you know, as kids of that age, you know, we couldn't really go to cons and stuff like that. But to see Voltron represented at such a large gathering with so many enthusiastic people, it blows the mind, doesn't it?
Yeah, there were over 100 people dressed in costume.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And that was the most we had ever seen at any convention. I mean, if you start at the beginning when it was the first WonderCon, which was a year ago, and then you go to San Diego Comic-Con and then New York Comic-Con, it was increasingly getting more and more, but this one just blew them all away.
Right. It was just amazing.
Yeah, so and you'd see these people all over the exhibit floor when you were walking the exhibit floor, and everybody recognizes Voltron characters now.
Yeah.
You know, people from other franchises that like other franchises recognize all the Voltron characters now.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Which is really cool.
So I do want to mention that the fan gathering was actually organized on Facebook by, and I'm going to botch the pronunciation, so I apologize up front, a user named Teddy Trinh, T-R-I-N-H. So Teddy organized that through Facebook, and that was really cool. And I do remember one of the people was cosplaying as Matt Holt, and that was really cool too. And I remember that there was someone cosplaying as Pidge. I don't know if that was Teddy, but she was one of the people who was helping, you know, get the different characters represented out by the fountain for the photo ops. But I remember there was another person who was cosplaying as Matt Holt, and that was really cool too.
Yeah, the big cosplay event happened, and there's lots of pictures for that as well.
Yeah.
And then we did the autograph signing, and that was cool, and I've got lots of pictures for that.
Yep.
Immediately after the autograph signing, wanted to mention that I was on my way up to the interviews for you. You were still in line.
Yes, I was. I got up there at the kind of at the last minute for the press event, but yeah.
But while you were still in line, Kim and I left so that we could head towards the interview room.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped by the bathroom real quick, and I happened to run into David Weeb, who is the executive in charge of production for Voltron Legendary Defender for DreamWorks.
Wow. It's a small world.
Yes. So,
a small bathroom, too, I guess.
So I got to meet his son, Zachary,
uh-huh.
who is an Overwatch fan.
Cool.
But in his spare time, he gets to watch Voltron Legendary Defender. Isn't that cool?
That is cool.
And what I liked about him is he was about the same age as Lucas.
That's cool. Very neat.
Yes. So I really appreciated meeting up with David. He liked my jersey, by the way.
Yeah. You've got that signature jersey that you're becoming very well known for.
I'm like the Kevin Smith of Voltron.
Yeah, there you go.
That was neat. I told him I got it on Voltron.com at the Voltron store.
Yeah.
You can still get them.
Yes, indeed.
In fact, there's new era hats now.
Yes. I've got a couple of them myself, and I believe I've got one or two that will be shipping later this week, actually.
And they have new stock of the Playmates toys, too.
Yeah. Check them out.
Don't forget that the Voltron store has a Facebook page, too, and like that if you haven't already.
Yes. Check it out. The Voltron store.
All right, so let's talk about the interviews.
Let's do it.
All right, so we got to the interview room. Kim and I were already set up with the camera and everything, and they brought the cast in. You got there just in time.
Yes, perfect timing, I guess.
You and I were able to do a little quick introduction for all of our videos, and then mm-hmm. our first interview was with Joaquim and Lauren.
Yeah, that was really cool.
So do you want to hear that video now?
Absolutely.
Hi, Hi, this is Mark Morrell.
And Greg Tyler.
From Let's Voltron. We're here at WonderCon 2017, and we're talking about Steven Universe, right?
Wow, yeah.
Great show.
Great show.
April Fools. But we are talking about the number one show on Netflix, Voltron Legendary Defender. And I can say that because it is April Fools, and nobody can really welcome
it. There you go. Number one.
Yes, I agree. Okay. I concur.
So, and we don't really know what the number one show is on Netflix anyway, right?
They leave that information a little on the DL.
Right.
Yeah.
But we know you guys are hugely successful, so we're very, very thankful about that. Right, Greg?
Absolutely. And I wanted to ask you, no fooling, with all the projects you've worked on in the past, how would you compare the hype surrounding Voltron Legendary Defender with your previous works?
That's a good question. I mean, I think... Yeah,
it's pretty crazy. Like, I've worked on a lot of DC stuff for Warner Brothers, and there's always a lot of DC fans, but not all of them follow the animation as well. Yeah. So I feel like we would have kind of a smaller audience, and this audience is, like, very specific to us. And so it's very crazy and really awesome. We're both super excited that so many people have found this show and love this show.
Yeah, I mean, we've been lucky to work on shows that have had, you know, pretty decent followings. I think the interesting thing with Voltron is we've got this whole new sort of generation of fans, which is really great. But then we've got, you know, people like you and myself and us, and we grew up with the show. So we've got these, you know, sort of generations of fans that we get to interact with, which has been incredible.
And we got to see most of those fans outside with cosplay today.
Yeah, sure. Incredible. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, the artistry, the talent, the dedication is crazy.
The time that must have gone into making all of those is just mind-blowing.
Yeah. And we knew that we were going to get to see some cosplay of the Blade of Marmora, the Keith character in the Blade of Marmora suit, so we were excited about that, too.
Yeah, I mean, that was super. I think that's, you know, it's interesting that you had brought up that earlier question, because we have worked on these, you know, DC properties, and we've worked on stuff that's been established, and, you know, Batman, everybody knows Batman. When you see characters that, you know, you've created uniquely for, you know, this brand of Voltron, that's super rewarding. So watching a Blade of Marmora character, which has never existed before Legendary Defender, it's like super humbling.
Yeah, and just seeing the fact that we know that episode didn't come out until January, and now here we are, not that far along, and someone's already put all of this effort into making it. It's just amazing to see the dedication that our fans have.
Yeah. Right. So two seasons are in the bag. A third season's on the horizon, and we've got Voltron 84, turning back the clock 30-plus years. What brought about the release of Voltron 84, and how did the two of you come up with your personal favorite episodes?
I mean, yeah, it was a little, it's tough because it's, you know, you get this weird kind of Sophie's Choice moment where it's, you loved so many of those episodes. Yeah. It's hard to bring it down to just one. For us, it was going back and reviewing. I liked my episode because it had so many elements that I appreciated of the original series. You had, you know, your giant Robeast fight, but you also had the intrigue, you know, with Prince Bokor and Lance sort of like figuring him out. You kind of had all those elements wrapped into one episode, and you know, I loved it a lot.
Yeah. Mine was purely because it traumatized me as a child. Like, it was the one episode that I very clearly remember watching. Like, a lot of the other stuff I just kind of remembered. I vaguely remembered Allure is a cool Goro pilot. There's lions. There's this other stuff. But I specifically remember the moment where the cat cuts Allure and she dies. And that was just, and it was funny to go back and watch it again and be like, oh my God, that's exactly how I remember it. You expect it to kind of change, or like you change some stuff in your child's mind, but it was there. And just because of that, like, very clear memory, I was like, you know what? I gotta rewatch this thing. I gotta just show everyone how traumatized I was as a kid.
And she was giving me like live feeds, like as she was watching. She was like, nope, Allure totally dies, like totally got stabbed. Like, while she was watching it, it's hilarious.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us at WonderCon, and we'll see you all next time on
Let's Voltron!
All right. Thank you.
Awesome, guys.
That was fun.
So that's pretty cool, because we can use that at the end of the episode.
Yes, we can.
So that's cool. I like how the fact that you asked that question about their former work that they had done on, like, the DC properties and stuff like that, and that really triggered something in them, and they were glad that you asked that question.
I'd like to say that I planned that well in advance, but that just came to me. So It was fun to hear them say, you know, they're referencing the Blade of Marmora Keith and how much a character, or at least an iteration of that character, new to this specific Voltron show has already caught on and resonated with so many of the viewers. That's a very good point. I mean, you know, everyone does know Batman. They know Superman. They know Wonder Woman. But Keith, especially with this Blade of Marmora connection, is not as well known, you know, this iteration. And so that's a great example of how this show has really taken hold of its viewers.
Yeah, I wouldn't even be surprised if somewhere down the line we're at a convention and there's a whole pack of Blade of Marmora people, like the way Ulaz was dressed when we saw him before we actually saw him with his hood off.
Right.
I can't help but feeling like this is like another 501st Legion kind of thing.
I'm still looking for someone to dress up as a Weblum, so, but we'll see, we'll see.
And when I say 501st Legion, I mean the 501st and the Rebel Legion like they have at Star Wars.
Yes, so that was a Star Wars reference, and yes, I did get that, but not every one of our listeners will, so glad you clarified that.
And we're not going to separate the two, okay? We're not going to have a 501st where it's all the bad guys. And a Rebel Legion where it's all the good guys.
All right.
Okay. It's just...
See, it's all Voltron, so it's all good.
It's all Voltron, it's all good.
That's all right.
And sometimes you don't even realize it, but Keith, I think, has already said this in the show, hasn't he? That we're not just going to let someone die, even if they're Galra.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's that idea, and it's been taken from the previous shows as well, because I remember in the third dimension how Keith and Allure were both, we have to help Hagar and Lotor when they were trapped by Dracotron.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Lance was just saying, what, are you crazy? They're the bad guys, you know, and everything like that. And Keith and Allure said, we don't leave anybody behind, and we don't allow people to die on our watch.
Yep.
It's that same feeling again, you know, so you really don't know, you know, in the end, you know, if somebody's truly evil or if they have to be, you know, because of something else.
Right.
So that's cool. So I really think that in future conventions, we're going to see some of these other characters that we didn't quite see yet.
Yes.
These will be characters that were created specific for Voltron Legendary Defender.
Yeah, so I can't wait to see Slav.
Yeah.
So, or the Yupper. Yup.
Yeah, so speaking of that, Josh Keaton mentioned several times at both the panel and in the interviews about his, you know, favorite moment from season two, and it's just how riled up Shiro got with Slav.
Yeah, and I guess we'll be hearing that here in the next interview segment, right?
Yes, so that'll lead right into this interview segment with Josh Keaton. We actually had five of us in this. So like the five Lions of Voltron, we had five people in the interview. We had you and me, and then Josh Keaton, and Jeremy Shada, and Kimberly Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to play that.
Hi, this is Let's Voltron here at WonderCon 2017, and I'm here with Jeremy Shada, Kimberly Brooks, Josh Keaton, and of course, Mark Morrell. So what do each of the three of you think about the fan response to Voltron Legendary Defender and your character specifically?
It's been awesome so far. I mean, especially today in our autograph signing, we just had so many people dressed up in cosplay, probably like more than half, I would say.
Yeah.
And just in like extravagant, like it's not like they like the show, like they just love it. Like It's like their favorite thing, and they put so much work and effort into making these cosplays and just loving it. It's crazy. It's insane, yeah.
Yeah. Incredible. I was totally blown away by just, yeah, like you said, the attention to detail, the fan love, the Voltron love. It's so great. You know, we work isolated in a booth, and to actually get the feedback and response of people who love the show is incredible. It's fun to be a part of.
The other thing that was fun to see, aside from all the amazing cosplay, was all of the art and the merchandise that a lot of the fans have made themselves. It's amazing. I got this awesome hat. I got
half of it. I thought was like real stuff.
Yeah,
but it's like official stuff. But this was like it was that good. And then I had some. Somebody gave me this beautiful painting, and I mean, just great stuff.
Yeah.
You see the creativity behind the fandom. It's amazing.
And so I got to ask you, Josh, since you're here today promoting Voltron Legendary Defender, is that in any way a spoiler for Season 3?
No, actually. Today in the panel, I'm going to be talking about my favorite moment from Season 2. So it might just be a retrospective.
What a good question, Dodge. Wow.
Yeah. Very well played. Very well played.
Is that what he's talking about?
Yeah.
So obviously the three of you are very talented vocal artists, and you, Jeremy, and you, Josh, I know have musical backgrounds. You have a band now, and I know you've had a history with as a musician as well. Have the three of you ever thought about...
A couple of times, actually. I didn't get a response from these guys yet, but I'm thinking... I'll be down.
I want to do, like, a musical episode with everybody.
Oh.
She's like, no. She over there is like, no, not musical episode. No. It'd be fun. I mean, we have so many, like, funny, just, like, obviously comedically musical, if that makes sense. Like, we have so many funny episodes, like Space Mall, where it's just, like, it's kind of outlandish, like, but it's great. Like, something in that tone, I think, would just be fun.
Yeah. Or just start, the Voltron band, you know? Once
the Voltron
band. That'd be awesome, too.
Once we've really destroyed Zarkon, we have time now, right? We can get the band going.
You know, we can tear up the
space. It's a spin-off, though. It's like a sitcom, you know? Voltron the band.
Would the space mice be help with the drums?
They'd be the percussion section, I think.
Tambourine.
Tambourine.
Little tiny one.
I can work. Wait,
that was a triangle.
I was wondering the same thing, but you know, you're the musician, not me. You could have told me it was a kettle drum, and I'd believe.
I just play the cowbell, so my
cowbell.
Instrument.
More cowbell. I think there's been a lot of fan energy for a musical episode, and I'd totally support it.
People in the cast, still, a lot of us do have musical backgrounds in some way, shape, or form. So it'd just be a lot of fun, I think.
It would be.
I sing very well in the shower, so I think I will be able to contribute a lot
to
the musical.
Rocks out.
Or the shower. Or the car, yeah.
Or the car. Oh, absolutely. Josh.
Oh, yeah, I've been posting singing videos from the car.
Those are so cute.
Tuesday cartoons. All right.
I love it. It's brilliant.
So the three of you have been very active in social media, interacting with your fans, and I know you in particular, Josh, with the whole Space Dad thing going on. You know, it's been great for fans to be able to interact with each of you. What are some of the most surprising things that you've heard from some of your fans through social media?
I'll let you guys start with that.
There's so much to wade through. Well, I was surprised that some people didn't think that Laura should forgive Keith and forgive the whole thing that was going on. So I don't know. And I was surprised to see that because I thought that was a really big moment for Laura. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Some fans didn't agree with it. So that was shocking.
I don't know. I'm not really sure what would be surprising. A lot of people like Shiro. I like Shiro. I think he's cool. I don't find that surprising.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a good dude. He's awesome. I don't really know. I don't know. I think I was surprised to see how many people loved seeing Shiro lose it. That was funny.
With Slav.
Oh. Yes. Slav. I didn't expect so many people to like that. I loved that moment. But I didn't know it would resonate with so many people. But
I think people identify with that.
That moment where you just lose it.
I think like in this day and age, especially with like internet culture and just everything, I guess I'm never surprised by anything because people will pick up on like the littlest things in the littlest of scenes and be like, "That's just how I'm," you know, like
turn it into what they want it to be.
Exactly.
Anyway.
They like read like so far into things, and you're like, "Okay,
yeah,
all right."
Sure. All the shipping and all that, you know. There's a lot of people reading things in us that may not necessarily be happening, or they may. Who knows?
Who knows?
Well, thanks to all three of you for being here, and thanks for being here at WonderCon 2017.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks a lot.
With the five of us, we couldn't all fit on camera, so we sort of decided that one of us would interview one group of three, and the other of us would interview the other group of three. So this was my turn, chatting with Josh and Kimberly and Jeremy, and then you chatted with the next three, and we'll introduce them in a bit. But that was just a lot of fun. I mean, getting all three of them interacting with each other. And, of course, you and I had seen Jeremy and Kimberly a couple days before.
Right.
And it was just fun. I mean, they're all really enjoying interacting with their fans. And gosh, it was just a blast.
So what did you think about that? You mentioned how they have that fan interaction and everything, and that some people were, you know, not keen on Laura forgiving Keith as quickly as she did.
Now, you know, just as I miss some of our own tweets at Let's Voltron, I don't follow every tweet, obviously, that reaches Kimberly Brooks's Twitter. So I was actually surprised to even hear that, especially because the first season established that, you know, under ideal circumstances, Allura is very noble and was trying to keep everyone on the straight and narrow, following the Paladin Code and helping everyone in need and all that stuff. I think that Allura had very legitimate reasons to distrust Galra after what they had presumably done with Altea and her father and all that, but she's very good at heart, and I think that her evolution during season two was very natural and believable. What did you think?
Well, I can understand where some people would think that she could have held that grudge a little bit longer, you know, that it didn't have to happen as soon as it did. Mm-hmm. You know, if that it might have caused some more tension on the team and everything like that. But if that was the case, then when we came to that culmination in Blackout in the last episode and they needed to come together to form Voltron and they needed to work together to defeat Zarkon,
mm-hmm.
they wouldn't have been able to do that if there was still, I think, that tension between Allura and Keith. And I really think she did it for the good of the team.
Yeah, well, the one thing that we have to consider is that humans and Alteans are complicated creatures. And, you know, you can, just as Allura, who again in season one, you know, was talking, you know, the Paladin Code and we help everyone regardless of, you know, who they are as individuals or whatever. I mean, you know, you try to help people who are in need, the defenseless and all that. And season two, she was shaken a bit to you know, with the whole Galra thing. It's very possible that in season three, I mean, there's so much that is up in the air right now with the disappearance of Shiro and all that. It may be that there's still some tension between Allura and Keith. So I wouldn't just say that just because they seem to have made amends by the end of the season and she came to have a bit of trust in the Blade of Marmora and all that, I wouldn't say that this story thread is entirely resolved. Would you?
No, of course not. She's still got some extenuating circumstances where she's not going to feel good about being around Galra at all.
Right. And as far as how fast a plot evolves or how slow a plot evolves, I mean, this story, this entire series has been, I mean, I think you can tell as you watch the series, especially in hindsight, this whole show has been plotted out, you know, well in advance. And I think it makes some sense to trust the writers in that they know what they're doing. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, we may not agree with some of the pacing issues, some of the character evolution issues, et cetera, in the moment. But I think looking back, we may have a different perspective.
Right. So, you know, taking that in mind, going to the opposite edge of the coin where it's not as serious and talking about musical episodes. What do you think about the prospect of having a musical episode on Voltron Legendary Defender?
The show has gone in so many places already that I wouldn't be surprised if something like that were to happen. And you know what? I'd give it a try.
Do you think it would work?
With the writers on this show, yes. I think just about anything could be made to work for this series.
Okay. So it would be like in the vein of Space Mall, where it could be comedic or musical thing going on, but at the same time, in the middle of all that, there was the in Space Mall, there was that virtual fight between Shiro and Zarkon,
mm-hmm.
and finding out more information about where the lions came from and all that kind of stuff. But you could mix, you know, some serious stuff in with a musical episode and still get away with it, I think.
Yeah, I think maybe a really serious story thread involving some of the less likely characters, like maybe Hunk and Karan, send them off on some serious thing, while the other characters who tend to do a bit more serious things, maybe they're the ones who have to do all the musical stuff. Who knows?
Right. So I guess it also depends on how good the cast feels about singing. We said that most of them are pretty good at singing, but I don't know how all of them are at singing.
Right.
I guess they have to take that into account as well.
Yep.
But it would be good to see something on in the vein of that, because I know some of the fans had been requesting that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to go to our third interview. And this time it's with another trio.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, this time we have Bex Taylor-Klaus, and we have Tyler Labine, and we have head writer Tim Hedrick.
Yep, let's do it.
Okay, so like we said, we're here at WonderCon 2017, and we're talking about Voltron, Legendary Defender.
Yes, very exciting.
I'm planning for 2017, but you guys, yeah.
It's a big year.
So you guys didn't have any April Fool's jokes today, did you?
No.
Okay.
I played a couple.
You did?
I did. I felt really bad immediately that I did. There were fans in line that were like, hey, it's nice to meet you, and, you know, what's going to happen in the future on the show? And I was like, well, you know, I said, next season when they kill off Hunk, there's a – I was like, don't get too attached to my character. And I played a couple of those jokes, and maybe the wrong crowd. Not a lot of, you know, humor, sense of humor about that anyway. But, yeah, I tried that about three times, and it failed horribly, just pretending that my character was going to die. People don't like that.
I don't think they do.
People are real sensitive about killing off characters. I don't see what the big deal is.
All right.
Yeah.
It traumatized Lauren, as we learned from Voltron 84 about the sleeping princess.
Tim giveth, Tim taketh away, you know?
You know? That's right. That's why pencils have erasers.
Right.
Okay. Well played.
So you guys were at the autograph signing just before this, okay? Was there any special items that you guys thought were pretty memorable that you had to sign?
Well, hopefully those will come later in the night. we always get great art from the fans, and there were more awesome pictures that people had. We had these cool hats this time. There was a pillowcase. That was
pillowcases are not easy to sign.
That
no,
it was a body pillow too. Yeah. That was like huge.
Yeah. You know, that fleece is not good.
Sucks to sign.
Yeah, in the future, try not to work in fleece.
Okay.
Fan artist.
Like, there are these jackets that, one of which you're wearing, and that they're deceptively easy to sign. Like, I thought it would be
that's true.
Like the pillowcase. It was so easy.
There are a number of things made out of that material that every time I signed it, I was like, that was, like, almost preferable.
Mm-hmm.
I almost enjoyed that more than paper or, like, you know what I mean? It's something, very, I don't know.
What was your favorite thing to sign?
I got to sign a rover. A rover that, like, did multiple different kind of light show type deals.
Nice.
It was really cool.
You got given one, didn't you?
I also got given a rover,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Pretty cool. How
about you? I got to sign, the pillowcase was really cool. And then I think my favorite piece that I got today was that this woman who had designed a print for each one of us, she gave us one. And I had her sign mine. And that was my favorite sort of thing of the day. I finished signing one for her, and I was like, this is awesome. And she gave me one, and I got it signed back. So that was cool.
Yeah, Jeff and I did, too. It was really cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's also an amazing amount of cosplay here at WonderCon. And we got to see it. There was a gathering at 11:30 today. A whole bunch of pictures were taken. So groups of Pidges, groups of Shiros, groups of Keats, everything. So,
yes.
Yes. Small, very small groups of Hunk, yes.
There was apparently a teenage Karan.
Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah. It's so
that's
good.
Cool. Someone dressed specifically as the teenage Karan.
Like,
that's awesome. That's awesome. I thought you meant a teenager dressed up as Karan.
I mean,
like,
that
could have
been a teenager.
It is a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Well, there was a child who dressed as Zarkon.
That's awesome.
That was insane.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
So we're celebrating season two in the panel today. Any thoughts about season two that really come to the forefront for each of you?
Just that it was a great. We see every one of the paladins kind of blossom and change. I think that was my favorite part. Is like each one of the characters has a new cool thing that's revealed. I mean, it's kind of like we see it all. Keith is the main one, obviously, in season two. Then, and through him, we learn all these things about the universe that maybe not all of the people that Zarkon thinks are loyal, you know, maybe there's another, you know, aspect to this war that's coming up. So, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I thought it was really cool just kind of all the guests that we keep having. Because, like, Weird Al. My friend Allison was in the same episode. That was really cool. May Whitman. Just, even
she's
just
dope.
In the beginning. It was
Tinkerbell,
so cool.
Tinkerbell herself. Yeah.
Right. How about your favorite
moment? My favorite moment from the season, period. I think, if I can just, I just want to choose an episode. I think the Space Mall episode.
Okay.
Kaltenecker is just like, and there's a little Easter egg there. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about, but sure. Yeah, Colton Ecker is actually the last name of one of our EPs.
He's the line producer.
Line producer. Thank you. Our line producer.
Benjamin Colton. Yeah.
Oh, I guess a lot of people will probably see that in the credits, but a lot of people don't. Yeah. All right. So Benjamin Colton Ecker.
After Colton Ecker got introduced and I was watching the show and I saw the credits, and I'm like, I feel like an idiot now, but that's really cool.
You're not an idiot.
Has Benjamin Colton Ecker been on the podcast?
No, he hasn't yet. That's a definite idea there, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can do the voice for Colton Ecker?
Okay.
Yes.
All right, we do have to close this up, but yeah, there will be more coming. So thank you for joining us at WonderCon 2017 for Voltron Legendary Defender.
Yeah. Missing the point, I think. I'm missing the point.
Okay, so that was a good way to finish it up, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. What Colton a lot of Ecker. Fun it was. Yes. So, Benjamin Colton Ecker, this is our open call to you. We'd love to have you on our podcast.
Yes, of course. Tim Hedrick has requested it.
Yeah, so if you're interested, get a move on and please reach out to us.
And I'll bet you there's a lot of people out there that don't know what a line producer does.
That's true.
Including us.
Yeah, just as when we had, just as when we had Christine Bien on and she explained her role and the role of some of the other artists on the show. I think it'd be cool to educate our listeners and ourselves on the different roles that are involved in producing a show like Voltron Legendary Defender.
Yes, absolutely. And so, yeah. Open call out to Benjamin Colton Ecker.
That's right.
Okay.
They were talking about the different materials that are difficult or easy to sign. And when she called out a jacket, she was actually calling out a jacket that your wife, Kim, was wearing.
Right. She pointed to Kim, too, because Kim was wearing the green jacket. It's actually like a hoodie jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And it's made out of a very soft material. It's not quite fleece, but it's another material like that, but better.
Mm-hmm.
And each of the paladins have their own jacket, so each of the colors. And we bought the green one. And by the way, this was available at Epic Cosplay Wigs, of all places.
That's right. Yeah.
So most of the stuff that was at that booth was wigs. And mm-hmm. it's all about epic cosplay. But they also had these jackets from Voltron. So this particular jacket was the Green Lion one, and it was Pidge's jacket. And on the back, it says Techie across the back.
Right. And now it says more things across the back, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, she got it signed by every single one of the cast and crew.
Yeah, that's one heck of a jacket.
So, unfortunately, she won't be wearing that again. That thing's getting hung up and put in a case.
Yes.
And, typically, we don't keep things that are signed because we like to give away things to the fans.
Mm-hmm.
But this particular one, Kim is keeping.
Yes, and deservedly so.
Right. So we do, though, have something that we will be giving out to the fans.
What would it possibly be, Mark?
Well, while Kim was in line, she also got the lithograph signed.
Ah, yes, the Blade of Marmora Keith lithograph.
So we are going to be giving away a signed lithograph of Keith as the Blade of Marmora, which was designed by Joaquim dos Santos himself, and it's signed by everyone that was at the autograph signing. So, everybody that was in our interviews.
Yeah, 8 people.
Right.
Joaquim dos Santos, Lauren Montgomery, Tim Hetrick, Josh Keaton, Jeremy Shada, Kimberly Brooks, Tyler Levine, and Bex Taylor-Klaus. I think I got them all.
Yes, you did. And here's the thing, is that if you got to see every single person as they came off of that autograph signing line, how excited they were to get their item signed, mm-hmm. and how excited they were to actually meet the cast and crew of Voltron Legendary Defender, one of their favorite shows.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing the giddiness that everybody had going through that. And it was so, it was just really special for me to be able to capture all that.
Yeah.
I even got to talk to some of them afterwards and get their picture with the signed lithograph and everything. So that was pretty cool.
That is very cool.
So how are we going to give away this signed lithograph?
Well, how about we just leave that as a tease, and when we pick up and cover the panel in the next episode, we can figure out how we plan to give that away. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea. In fact, I think it's a great idea to just tease the fact that we have to wait until the next episode to hear what happened at the panel.
Why don't we do that?
This isn't an April Fool's like it was when the panel took place, but this is just our way of saying we'll keep this one a little bit shorter and we'll, you know, include the panel. So on the next episode of Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast.
Oh, that's what this show is called. That's right. I keep forgetting.
I keep forgetting because we've said Voltron Legendary Defenders so many times over that week at WonderCon.
Yeah, yeah. But golly, so WonderCon was a lot of fun. And because it was, you know, 2 days and 3 days for you, I had to leave early Sunday morning, but you were there for the Sunday fun as well. But I'm thinking that, you know, we can compress, you know, 2 to 3 days of WonderCon greatness into 2 episodes of our podcast. How's that sound?
I think we can do that.
Okay, cool.
So you'll find out in the very next episode how you can win a signed lithograph from the whole cast and crew, and you'll get to hear all of the panel.
That would be awesome.
Okay, because I know some of you out there were thinking, boy, it'd be really great to be in on that panel, but, you know, you couldn't come in from wherever you were coming from. So you couldn't make it to WonderCon. So that's what we're here for. We're here to share that with you.
Yes, and actually, I'll be listening to the panel for the first time, because even though I was at WonderCon, because the press event ended just before the panel, and the panel room had filled up, and we had limited press passes to get into the panel ourselves, your wife Kim and I had to sit out on the panel. So we weren't able to experience the panel ourselves. We experienced it through your live tweets, and in the next episode, I'll get to actually hear the panel, so that'll be cool.
Just like they did in the panel when they teased us with a little clip, I'm going to tease you with a little clip, okay?
Okay.
Oh, Neil's here.
Is he?
Yeah, he's right there. Neil! He's right there. He's right next to...
So what do you think that tease was about?
Neil. Do we know anyone named Neil who might be associated with Voltron Legendary Defender? Why, yes, we do, don't we?
Neil Kaplan.
Emperor Zarkon himself, yes.
So Neil Kaplan was in attendance.
That is so cool.
So that was cool. But he wasn't on the panel itself. He was sitting in the front row.
Yeah.
So that was cool. That's what we're going to do for this week. And we'll see you all next time on
Let's Voltron!